Ephesians chapter 6. Something that I hadn't noticed before, though I've read this portion of Scripture many, many times. And that is the close association that the Lord makes between verse 17 and 18, the Word of God and praying always. Just that thought of a seamless connection between the Word of God and praying is something that we ought to pay attention to. A great man of God, I believe it may have been Robert Murray McShane, said, "Turn your Bible reading into prayer." And what he was meaning was simply when you come to the Scriptures, it ought to always be in a prayerful attitude, seeking the Lord that He might speak to you from the Scriptures, but also looking for petitions that are suggested by the Scriptures as we come before the Lord. Turn your Bible reading into prayer. When we go to prayer, it's immensely important that we should take the Word of God with us, because there is this intimate connection between effectual praying and the devotional reading of Holy Scripture. As we look at this particular subject, the Word of God joined to prayer, I would suggest that there are several things that the reading of the Scripture produces when we come to the throne of grace. The first of those is communion. The Word of God begets communion and fellowship with God. A preacher by the name of Guy King once said, "Our quiet time with God," and he was meaning that daily time when we have our devotions, if we want to call it that, "our quiet time with God," he said, "is not meant to be a monologue, but a dialogue." I like that. It's not just that there's one person speaking, but it's a two-way conversation. And it's true, obviously, in the first case, that when we pray, when we get alone with God, we speak with Him, we speak to Him, we wait upon Him. And that's one of the simplest conceptions that we can ever have of praying. Now, it's possible to be just speaking to the ceiling, and we don't want our prayers to be like that. We don't want our prayers to be bouncing off the ceiling and coming back down again. You might ask, well, how could that happen? Well, that could very easily happen if we were to be guilty of what the psalmist talked about in Psalm 66. And it's simply this: if I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalm 66 verse 18, the Lord will not hear me. So there's an instance in which God doesn't hear prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What does that really mean? Well, it means if there's sin that presents itself before our eyes and we know that it's there, we're not willing to deal with it. We're not willing to put it away. We're not willing to actually have that impediment removed. Then we're not going to get through to God. And that actually fits in very well with what the Lord said to Israel in Isaiah chapter 59. There's a great promise in verse 1 of that chapter. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." So when we come to the place of prayer, we rejoice in that. His ear is not heavy that it can't hear. But then look at the verse 2. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." So that's something for us to consider. Lord, help me to come confessing my sin, laying everything on the table before God, laying it all out. Lord, remove my sin. Help me not to be grasping sin to my breast and holding it as something that I cherish. No, let me freely part with it. And when we speak with the Lord with that in mind, we're not going to be just speaking to the ceiling. We're going to get through to God. Obviously, there are people who are not saved who say their prayers, and I think their prayers do bounce off the ceiling. It may well be that they're like the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, where in verse 11 it tells us that rather than the publican who smote upon his breast and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Imagine praying with yourself. That's all he was doing. He wasn't talking to God, although he thought he was, but he was just praying with himself. He wasn't getting through to God at all. But if we're sincere, we're real when we come to the throne of grace. The Lord is gracious, and the Lord permits us to speak with him. And so this is a blessing that we can enjoy in private, but also in the prayer meeting. We can have fellowship and communion with the Lord. But also the Lord, it is true to say, speaks with us. When we pray, we should come, as I said, with our Bibles. We should come with the Word of God because it suggests petitions. And so when we're reading the Word of God, this is the Lord's usual means of communication with his people. So we should have the Word of God before us as we pray. That's one of the reasons why we have the Bible study at the prayer meeting. I think that all other things being equal, you may be conducting, I mean ministers may be conducting a series of some kind, bringing forth things from the Word. But I honestly think that most times in the prayer meeting, the devotional should fit in with prayer. It should be something that helps us to pray. As we go to the throne of grace, we're bringing that Word before the Lord that night. I know when our ministers have the week of prayer, the men are always very conscious of the burden that the Lord lays upon their hearts to preach a message that will be a message that will help the men that day to pray. And I think it's really important that we take the Word of God with us when we're praying, that we have something to pray over. And so whenever you're going to read your Bible at home, for example, you shouldn't hurry over your Bible reading. You shouldn't be thinking, well, let's get this over with and I'll be able to say I've read my portion for today. No, but we should be actually looking for the Lord to speak to us from his Word so that we'll have things to pray about. As we come to read our Bibles, we should read, of course, regularly. I think also we should read consecutively. That is to say, it's not a good thing just to sort of go randomly to your Bible every day and just sort of close your eyes and open up and plunk your finger, I think I'll read here today. I think that your Bible reading should be systematic. So it's a good thing to read through the Bible, even from Genesis to Revelation, but it's also good to read through your Bible in a Bible study or a Bible reading program. And there are various ones out there that you can use that are very helpful. And I think that way the Lord will speak to you as you just go through your normal course of reading. But in any case, when we're reading the Bible, we should be reading it expectantly. I know the Lord's going to speak to me from his Word. We should be reading the Bible obediently. Whatever the Lord brings up before me, I'm going to take it to heart. And if there's something that it suggests to me that I should be doing that I'm not, then I'm going to take that to heart. Or if it's telling me something that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing, I'm also going to take that to heart. Reading the Bible obediently. Obviously, reading it reverently. Listening for the Lord's voice. Master, speak. Thy servant heareth. Waiting for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice which cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? That hymn was suggested by the words of 1 Samuel chapter 3, where Eli said to the young Samuel, when he kept getting up out of bed, he was disturbed. He said, I keep hearing this voice speaking to me, and I think it's you, Eli. Eli said, no, it's not me. Go back to bed. And Eli very soon realized it's the Lord that's speaking to him. So he said to young Samuel, when you hear the voice the next time, then you better say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I want to hear the Lord's voice speaking to me. And so when we come to pray, we should come with our Bibles, because that will make that a time of real communion and fellowship with God. The Word of God produces communion. But the Word of God, secondly, produces confidence. Now, when I say it produces confidence, I'm referring not to self-confidence or some sort of human confidence, but faith. It produces real faith. And we're not going to get too far in prayer without faith. The Bible tells us how important faith is when we pray, that we believe that we should accept what God is saying to us and believe it. And if we feel that we are weak in faith, then we should be like those who prayed, "Lord, increase our faith." That's a good prayer to pray. "Lord, increase my faith. Help me not to believe in the power of my praying, but help me to believe in the power of the God to whom I am praying." Come in faith, believing. Confidence. That's something that children do when, in their innocence, they come to their parents asking for something that they really believe that their parents are going to provide. They have no doubt whatsoever that what they're asking for is something that they're going to receive, all other things being equal. That's how we should come before the Lord in prayer. Now, how is faith produced? Faith is not produced, you know, by closing your eyes real tight and thinking about it so hard that you sort of build up this confidence and faith. That's not how it works. Faith, as the Bible says in Romans 10:17, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible begets faith. It produces faith. And so when we come before the Lord, we come to one who we know is willing to answer prayer. We have seen him answered prayer in the past. That increases our faith. But also, as we look at the promises of God, which are multitudinous, then our faith is helped. The Lord is the object of our faith, of course. We trust in him. We have absolute confidence in him, in his love, in his wisdom, in his power. We know that as far as good things are concerned, he will give good things to them that ask him. He will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Furthermore, he tells us in the Psalm, in Psalm 84, verse 11, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." The Lord will not keep back any good thing from you. And if there are things in your life that you consider to be bad things, you'll realize that all things work together for good to them that love God. But it's the Scripture and the promises of Scripture particularly that brings us to this place of confidence. So we read the Bible and the Lord gives us faith. As we read, the Lord produces faith in our hearts. We read about others who prayed and how God answered their prayer. That increases our faith. Well, if God answered prayer for that person, God can answer prayer for me. One of the examples that the Lord uses in the book of James to encourage the Lord's people to pray is Elijah. Elias, as he's called there. And it's very careful there to encourage God's people by telling them that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, why do you think the Lord would, by inspiration, have James to write that? Well, there's a very simple reason why he wrote that. It's to encourage you and me, because we're just ordinary people. If we were to think that Elijah, well, we're not like Elijah because Elijah was a mighty man. We needn't be thinking because he prayed and got answers to prayer that we're going to get answers to prayer because Elijah was a mighty man. And the Spirit of God says, no, wait a minute, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. It's just like we are. And yet, he prayed earnestly that it might not rain and so on. And then it goes on to say, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you're a person who's leaning upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're looking to him as all your righteousness before a holy God, you're on the same praying ground as Elijah. And we could use that hymn, couldn't we? Elijah's God still lives today. An answer still by fire. So the Word of God begets confidence. It produces communion with the Lord. It produces confidence. I believe also that the Word of God begets clarity. That is to say, it produces light, knowledge. And the very nature of the Word of God is that it's called light. The Word of God is light. The entrance of thy words giveth light, furthermore. Thy word, as the psalmist put it, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In another place he prayed, Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. So when we go to pray, we are given light from God, knowledge. And that knowledge that the Lord is going to give us is going to be invaluable when we pray. Now, what kind of a knowledge is the Lord going to give us? What sort of light is this? What clarity is this that we're going to receive? Well, when you come to the Word of God, you're going to see yourself in your true light. It's going to show us ourselves as we really are. That's why the Bible speaks of itself as like being like a mirror. There in James chapter 1, we think of those words. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now that old word glass, you'll find it a number of times in the scripture. For example, you'll find it in 2 Corinthians, where in chapter 3, verse 18, Paul writes, "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." It's speaking of a mirror. So here it is again in James chapter 1, verse 23. If any be a mere hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror, the way you would look in a mirror before you leave the house. For he beholdeth himself, he looks in the mirror, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That's why people, if you ever watch them when they go to stand before a mirror, they'll look in the mirror and then they walk away and then they come back again. If you ever see people, you've done it. I'm sure you've done that. Because you're looking to make sure that whatever it is right. And you kind of forget what the image was and you look again. That's what the Bible's talking about. You look in the mirror and then immediately you forget what you've actually seen there, so you look again. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, it's just like a mirror, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed, or in his doing. So when we look at the mirror of God's word, we see ourselves in our real and true light. And when we get that sight, what does that cause us to do? It causes us to ask the Lord to put us right. We read the word. We get a knowledge of ourselves. We also get a knowledge of need. Not only our own need, but the needs of other people. The needs of the work of God that we're going to pray for. And not just superficial needs, but fundamental needs that the Word of God reveals to us. And as you read the Scripture, you see the kinds of things that you should be praying for in regard to the work of God. There are petitions that are suggested to us all the time in the Scripture. You look at what the Bible says about the church, about in the pastoral epistles, about various things that are needed in the church. Those are all matters that we can pray about. Those are all things that are suggested to us for prayer petitions. And I think probably the greatest knowledge that we get when we come to the Word and then as we come to pray is the knowledge of the Lord Himself. As you read the Word, you get the knowledge of Him. That's the kind of clarity that we need. And that's what we may have through the Word. How are you going to get to know God? You don't get to know God by going outside at night and looking up at the stars. Now, if you do that, you'll see His handiwork. And it'll certainly, if you look at them long enough, cause you to feel like worshipping the God who made these stars. But it's not really going to tell you anything about God. This is general revelation. We look at the creation around us. We look at the beauty of the hills and the mountains and the trees and the birds and all the different things that there are in creation. And all of those things teach us that there is a God. And they tell us that He's a God of order and so on. That's general revelation. When it comes to supernatural revelation, we need the Bible. If you want to know God, you need to know your Bible. Because that's what tells us about God. That's how we learn of Christ, is through His Word. So if you're ever to become a mighty prayer warrior, you have to become mighty in the Scriptures. You have to seek the Word before you ever seek the throne of grace. Communion, confidence, clarity. And then I think as well, we could say in the fourth place, that when we come to the Word of God, it produces consideration. That is to say, it would cause us to consider certain things that need to be prayed about. It suggests petitions. When we come to God's Word, we see things there that we need to pray about. Things that we need to pray about for ourselves. You know, you look at the Word of God and you see that the psalmist, when he came to the Word, he said in Psalm 119, verse 25, "Quicken thou me according to thy word." That's what the Word of God does. It quickens you. It makes you alive. And so this is something that the Word produces as we read it, as we think about it. It speaks to us about ourselves. For example, if there's a promise, you're reading through a certain chapter and you see there a promise, then that promise is one that you can receive for yourself and plead that promise before God. Or you might read a chapter and there's a warning there. There's some kind of warning about something that either someone else did, or a general warning about what you shouldn't do, like in the book of Proverbs. There are things that are to be avoided and so on. Then we take that to heart, that our lives might be brought into line with the Word. Or there might be a command in the chapter, something that the Lord's telling you to do. And so we accept that as a command for our own hearts. Or there might be an invitation, there might be some challenge that the Lord sets before us. These are ways in which we can turn the Bible into prayer. We see what it says in the Scripture, and it would suggest to us something that we ought to do. For example, the passage we read tonight as the preface to this message. You'll notice that it tells you there in a number of places that there are commands, there are exhortations. But it tells you in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, if you read that, what does that suggest to you? Well, it suggests to you, it suggests to me, that I don't have any strength of my own. And if I'm going to have strength, I'm going to have to get that strength from the Lord. And so it causes me, as I read that, to say, "Lord, help me to be strong in the Lord. Make me strong. Help me to stand in the power of Thy might." And then the next verse says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Lord, help me today to put on the various pieces of armor so that I can stand. And so on and so forth. Right down through the passage, there are things that are suggested to you for your own heart and for your own life. And then, of course, there are things that are suggested to us, things that cause consideration, suggestions for petitions for others. You come to the Word of God and there are things in your reading that will help you to pray for others. I was interested just to think today of three different portions where men in Scripture used the Word of God as the basis for their praying. I'll mention the three of them to you. The first one is Nehemiah. The second one is Daniel. And the third one is actually a group of men in the book of Acts. So the Scriptures that I'm going to mention are Nehemiah chapter 1. And from verse 8, the Bible says this. These are the words of Nehemiah. "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandedest thy servant Moses, saying..." And then there's a quotation. A word that the Lord had given to Moses. So what is Nehemiah doing here? He's using the Bible as the basis for his praying. The praying that he's doing for the situation that he finds himself in and that his people find themselves in there at that time. Then you go to the book of Daniel to chapter 9 and you discover there in the first verse the time of his praying. It was in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And the books that he's talking about are Old Testament biblical books. And so what does he do? Verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and so on. Here's the word of God that Daniel reads suggesting matters for prayer. That's how we're to read our Bibles. Because as we read, there will be consideration. There will be petitions that are suggested to us. And finally, the third reference I mentioned is in the book of Acts. It's chapter 4. And in verse 24, it says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, here they are praying, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said. And then there's a quotation from Psalm 2. Why did the heathen rage? The people imagined vain things. The kings of the earth stood up. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, and so on. And they use that scripture as the basis for their praying. This is how we're to proceed. Privately, and I believe also publicly, we should have our praying guided by and coloured by the scriptures. We bring back to God his own word. There was a time when the Lord gave many promises to David about his future kingdom. And when David came to the place of prayer, he said to the Lord, after rehearsing all of these things, and do as thou hast said. So you read in the scripture a promise or a series of promises. You can come before the Lord and say, Lord, do as thou hast said. Take one in particular. Matthew chapter 16. The Lord said there, I will build my church. Can we not take that and say, Lord, build thy church? Because this is what the Lord has promised to do. And we can turn our Bibles into prayer. May God help us to do that. And God will bless us and God will answer prayer.